Good afternoon, everyone. It's 5 o'clock, so we're going to go ahead and start our workshop. Tonight we are meeting to allow the contractors to do their presentations for the construction of the new Liberty County High School. So at this time, Mr. Greg, do you need to say anything, or do we just need to go ahead and move on in? Okay.
Turn it over to them.
All right, so first up we have Allstate Construction Southland Contracting Incorporated. So y'all are ready, so anytime you want to go.
I'm Rudy Rudd with Southland Contracting Allstate. My partner Scott Brewer unfortunately had to be impaired. He just made budget on the project down there that's been driving him crazy. Mr. Kelly, I think, had already explained to you guys that we were trying to move one or the other, so he sends his regrets that he can't be here, but that's what we're partners for, and needless to say, I'm the better looking of the group on the situation, so it should be all okay. We'd like to really appreciate the opportunity to be able to present for this, and we're just going to jump right in and do what we do. The agenda is set forth in your grading and criteria is already through and assigned staffing and just kind of going through it in your booklets. What I'm going to do is not bore you with reading through everything, but the focus on the point scoring is all the way through it, and we'll just go ahead and go in. Our assigned staffing on this project is the same staffing that we used over in the Alpha project across the river. And actually, Ryan Buck is the project manager. Eddie Long was one of the project manager executives that worked through it and working in conjunction with. And Danny Long was the actual superintendent on the project. Myself and Scott, and as Greg just said just a minute ago, I'll load the wheelbarrow up and tell Scott he's got to carry it upside of the cliff. But needless to say, we'll do our part and get it back in the budget. Our team background experience, which is huge, 300 K-12s in the past 10 years. And if you look at the stars on your pages, you can really get a good flavor for what we do. Over $162 million in new K-12s and six campuses in the past 10 years. One of the things that we really like to harp on this project specifically, 10 finished special facility funded projects, currently one that's going down in Perry and one that we just finished over in Alpha that's not on the 10 list, so it'll actually be 12. Current team background and experience from the management team that you would be getting, which we feel like this is important. These are the guys that are going to take you cradle to grave all the way through it. They'll be here from the time we start tonight to the time we finish. And just like Ryan, you were in Alpha on Friday doing some handover things. So we go all the way through the maintenance and commissioning. Chipola Theater, another prime example of this same team all working together, $14 million design build theater. This thing had as many economic challenges as you could possibly throw. I think some of you may have seen the facility just being in the area. We're really proud of it. Alpha School, I think most of you toured the school in the past few weeks, or somebody mentioned that you toured the school. So that school is one that we're very proud of. 120,000 square feet, $23 million, 17 months. Had a cash flow load on it, the free funding cycles all the way through it. One of the big things that you guys have to be looking at is how we're going to build the school. One of the things we saw is August 19 delivery. You also have an August funding. So we need to talk about how we're going to get to that delivery. We've got a very aggressive schedule that gets you there. And then to explain the millage money and the way and the vehicles that we're going to have to be able to use from a subcontract standpoint to be able to freeze your money over that 17 or 15 month schedule process also. Local participation and success. Chipola Performing Arts, University Academy Charter, Mosley High. What we do is we sit down. One of my favorite ones was with Waldorf Ace Hardware. We wound up buying all the paint locally there. What we did is we went to PPG, we went to everybody, we said, give us your best pricing for bid packages. We sat down with Waldorf, we said, listen, we wanted to buy local. We told you we were going to buy local up front. $73,000 in painting got bought through their store. We're going to do the same thing here. The economic impact that we'll have, my family's drilled wells, put on roofs, and built buildings in this area for the past 50 years. So we know this area. I've employed a lot of people in Liberty County. I have a lot of friends over here. We want to make a huge economic impact here. We want sub-trades to be able to take some of the people that may not be working and get them working and get boots on the ground on your school so that you guys are able to say, we increased job performance in our county. I'm not planning on bringing people in from Tallahassee and Panama City. Do things, and we proved that on the Alpha project. If you talk to any of the people over there, they'll tell you that. Pre-construction services. You guys have got a lot to do in a short, compressed period of time. And we're going to go through that schedule in just a moment. Pre-construction services team, if we have Paul Renato and Ian Jones. Ian is the estimator that deals with the dollars on the sticks and bricks and mortar. Paul is the guy that sits in the back office and writes those huge scopes of work that make everything all-inclusive and put together. What we're looking for is cost control all the way through it. But what we're going to do is, I'm going to really implore you guys to be more proactive tonight probably than you've been up to this point of choosing contractors to be able to have in here. So we're going to talk about quality control, procurement, workforce plan, and the other. One of the other things in the pre-construction services we do is really the scope of work. And I'll let Ryan kind of go through the scope of work.
Yeah, I like to get involved with the pre-con team and dealing with Greg and the architect early on in the stages so we can get a good exact scope of work. We're able to have a very good solid number bid from a good turnout of subcontractors, including local subcontractors. We like to include phone calls and all that and include them. The other thing we like to do, especially in phase funding project, which we understand this is a phase funding, is we like to go ahead and put alternates into our scopes of work. So these are things that we might have down the road. For example, we find bad soil and we can avoid change orders. We can put a unit cost on these numbers early on at the beginning of the project, so we know that price, so we're not getting hit later on for expensive change orders or anything. We can also add things that may not be able to be in the budget, but we can add later, or we've got some more money and we can go ahead and get that price on early on at the beginning, and decreases the cost escalation down the road.
Really what we're trying to say is we want to be able to get a unit number that's locked in, so that way if we anticipate a change 7 months down the road where there potentially could be something, we want to have that unit cost at day one. We don't want to go to that person who's got us and says, hey, by the way, that $10 item is now $20 because you weren't smart enough to ask for it up front. We have that covered up front through these scopes of work. The other thing is overlaps on scopes. We want to make sure that we don't have all of the soffit fascia panels aren't mixed in with the roofing panels, or the masonry doesn't have some. We've got all of those. We've demonstrated our ability to do that on the past and previous project, and those 11 specially funded projects all have the hallmark of us doing that. The pre-construction service side,
Pre-construction services too, we also like to go through. One of the main driving points of any building is the structure. So we like to work with the design team and our subcontractors and everything, price out, and make sure that you're getting the best structure for your dollar and for the school and what it needs. And so we've been playing with that. We were talking to Scott earlier about if we keep track on all of our construction and structural systems that we've been using in the past, formula as far as what's the best fit for the school.
And in this particular one, you've got a traditional double-wife masonry wall with light-gauge steel trusses that would then get a steel roof on top of it, followed by some different ideas that we've been playing around with, putting rigid steel frame buildings with structural studs with spandrel beams that are still able to handle the same wind calculation loads and different things, but the assembly cost saves you money. And when you start talking about an 88,000 square foot building and saving $3 a square foot, simple math tells me we're in the $300,000 range right off the bat. And that's FF&E that you guys are able to put back in the school and make it work for the kids. Again, very aggressive schedule. And I can't underscore this portion enough. We need to be working with the architects in the next month to help them develop the scopes and to help them with the plans. What we don't want to see happen is we get the pie in the sky plan and design without any contractor input, and then we're forced to cut Taj Mahal down to something that's more basic sticks and bricks, and you guys get upset about it. We have a proven history. Well, I've worked personally with CRA for over 30 years. We understand what they do, they understand what we do, and we try to get everybody to a happy medium with the owner's input. So what we've got is almost an immediate November start, and then we've got an April, May of 18 start that's going to carry you through each one of the buildings. And we're getting a little, trying to put this presentation together was a little more difficult than a standard one. We're going to talk about the building in a horseshoe format with the gymnasium up at the top left, coming back over and finishing with classrooms on the far right. So what we thought we would do is we would begin with the gymnasium coming into the actual cafeteria. You got a lot of switch gear, you got a lot of things that have to go in. One thing we'll talk about in loads and funding is we may not be able to do quite as much on the gymnasium up front, waiting for the third round of funding that comes in on August of 19. And we're going to get into the nuances of that. There's a lot of moving components with this. But essentially what we would do is start in that area, get concrete, structural steel up, those high impact items, because it's the tallest building on site. Then we would come back around, move into the cafeteria, classrooms, admin, coming back into the horseshoe and finishing up in the classrooms. This schedule goes piece by piece all the way through it. 15-month schedule, no need to borrow any money, no need to have anything, any concerns based on the fee load coming out of it. Ability to meet the schedules.
There's safety. Danny's going to talk about our safety. He's our on-site. Superintendent, safety guy.
Again, Danny Long's going to be our superintendent. I always like to kind of mess with Danny for a minute because he's been in construction longer than I've been breathing. So
I know a whole lot more than he does.
Yeah. And that's why he's smarter than me every day of the week. So that's what we love about him.
Well, obviously safety is one of our prime concerns, particularly when we're in a school that are going to have students taking classes during construction. We obviously, as this display shows right here, we will secure the whole site, the whole work site, with a security fence. We get into the Jessica Lumford, and all of our subcontractors will have badges. They'll go through the correct area. I don't know if y'all have a separate deal where you can badge people that might not have a, what is it, a
Two, yeah, level two background level check. Two so background. What we do is we do the JLA Act, and then everybody has a sticker that's on their hard hat, so we know that they're walking around, they've been cleared. So they're within that fenced-in area the entire time that they're there.
We'll do weekly safety meetings. Not only do we do the weekly safety meetings, but every one of our subcontractors will, each time we have a meeting, each day, they're going to write me a daily report. Not only will we indicate on that report the safety meeting, the number of people that they have working on the job that will be signed in, but we will also be able to keep all of that in our books. And when we get through with it, everybody, there should be no issue whatsoever.
It looks like War and Peace when it's done, by the way. It makes excellent bedside reading.
What he's saying there is a documented book, and it's about this thing.
And then we take pride on quality control, which is a big part of any school. You know, we want to make sure that you guys are getting the product you paid for, and that's our job, and that starts with me and Danny. I start with the submittal review process, all the paperwork, making sure what Greg specs over there is what you guys are getting, and to make sure that they are correct, they're going to work. We have pre-install meetings. We get all the samples, mock-ups, all the color coordination, everything with you guys. I personally do that. And then Danny in the field makes sure that the products are correct and getting installed properly too. So he's the eyes in the field.
We follow particularly our structural requirements on the job. We make sure that number one, when they're installing them, we're going to inspect them as they're being installed. Once we get it completed, we're going to go back and make sure that installation is like it's supposed to be, because I don't think there's anything more important, particularly where the children are involved, that we have a very stable, accurate structure that they're going to be sitting up.
The one thing that we didn't harp on up front in the original staffing side, and I should have, Ryan's also a licensed Florida professional engineer, so you're not getting just a project manager, you're getting a guy that actually has a seal behind you. So when they're out in the field and they're looking at Nelson studs on top of steel beams or concrete beams or getting forward, they actually know what they're looking at, why they're there, what should be in place. Phasing and sequencing. What we want to do, and it's black and white here so it's difficult to see, but basically starting in the gymnasium, coming back around it, isolating this campus from it, and then being able to do it in the exact order that I said. Gymnasium, cafeteria, being able to get the switch gears and the heavy electrical appliances in, and then rolling it all the way around. Athletic office or types of buildings, we've got over 400,000 square feet that we've built. So if you gaze through these pictures, and we don't have all these sexy pictures in your magazine, but if you just take a look at them,
sexy pictures and fast forward.
And I hope that you did have a chance, those of you that did get a chance to look at Alpha, to look at their new gymnasium and what they have. This would be a very similar fit and finish, as I understand, for what we would be doing for you guys also. So we've got a range of athletic facilities, but again, over 400,000 square feet of actual finished facilities that we've constructed. And then in the admin side, over 100,000 square feet, and admin being typical DOE SREF standard all the way through it. Food service and dining, over 150,000 square feet of constructed projects with multiple layouts. That's the one nice thing about dining areas, is you never really know until the architect and you guys get together just exactly what you want to do. There's a move toward food service courts. There's a move toward individual seating. It really is dependent on what you guys want. Programmatically, we've performed all of them. Classrooms. Classrooms is where the real barrage comes. It's really kind of the part that I like the best, because you can take the standard classroom with just the best of chairs, and then you get into the labs. And there's just so many things now that they offer that they didn't offer when we were in school that are just really helpful and creative to a child that's got that Euclidean way of, you know, angles and looking in science and things that get you going. Again, phase funding multi-year projects, 10 projects completed with this team, and all of them with your architect, CRA. We have never had to walk away from a project for not being able to have it funded. And we have never walked away from a project at all, either of us, or from a joint venture standpoint. The special facilities funding experience, Alpha K-12, Madison High School this past summer.
Basically, we want to make sure managing the project, through the project, I myself and Jason with Allstate will be taking you through. We've got 30 years of experience in the public sector. We're open book contracting. This is a public job. It's special facilities funding. Everything that we do is open book to you guys and anyone else. It's public record. And we want to make that clear. And, you know, we're not hiding anything from you guys. Basically, I use a project management software, Oracle, right here, and it talks with our Timberline accounting software and the accounting team in our accounting office. And I basically, throughout the project, we're constantly, daily, entering budget, cost, I'm entering submittals, transmittals, everything is record kept.
The board will have backdoor access to certain things, then you guys can allow us to have access to other things, to other parties, if you want to. Historically, the board has backdoor access to the daily notes and journals and that type of thing. Accounting softwares, we typically give everything on the monthly PMIS report. Really, when we talk about open books and transparency, everything is publicly done. Everything is publicly kept. We have to do the same rules, basically, as your meetings. Then the success with DOE audits. Alpha went through an audit at the end of the project. Took about a month and a half.
Yeah. And we work with it. And
we are used to DOE audits. They're something that, while they're a pain in the rear end, we don't mind them. I mean, it's just a function of putting the right checks in the right boxes for the right people. And we've always suggested that.
And that's exactly what happened at Alpha. They requested a list of information, and we had it all. It was all stored, and we did it as is. Nothing was backdated or backlogged. It was already in there. All we had to do was save it, send it, or print it, and send it to them, and it was ready to go.
The other thing is the ODP, on that $22 million school, we saved them $300,000 in direct purchase order money. So that money is money that we're going to talk about in a minute that gets on the backside and helps do the short funding of the $5 million that you're going to have in short funding coming into your last pay cycle based on the schedule.
What we like to do, especially with phase funding, is with the schedule, we like to cost float it. So that way, all of our phase scheduling activities have a cost associated with it. That's a way to help us keep track of the phase funding, so we know we don't get out of, ahead of ourselves, or we don't run out of money and reach a stopping point. It's very helpful when we do that from the beginning and get you going.
And to really explain that, we know the gymnasium is going to be more intense in dollar figures. There's more stuff in the gym. There's less stuff in the classroom when you get out of FF&E. The tables, the desks, the different apparatuses that you're going to add after we're done from the building standpoint. So when we're coming in and we're doing the cash curve, we take a look at how much money are you going to have, because you're going to have three GMPs through this project. And we've got to be able to have a subcontractor that stops at first GMP, that still is going to hold their price going into second GMP, to be able to move to the last and the third to be able to get the funding. Because they are three different roadblocks that we have to go through, stop, get out of the car, get back in, go around it, and just continue on. So we understand that function. Again, and we don't hurt on this except a whole lot. Don't run out of the money in cash or in GMP. Ability to achieve the budget and understand efficiency in site design, alternate structural systems, you know, the ability to have not only the steel type piece, but if there's a plumbing apparatus that we like, or there's something that the electrician can offer that is more equal, we typically try to work together with the architects and the owners to make that work, to be able to be conscious with your dollars also. Again, more ability to achieve budget on the Alpha, and guys, I'm sorry, my eyes have gotten bad as I've gotten older. But, you know, it all starts with great bid participation, knowing what we've got from a geo standpoint, and then being able to come in with structural and roof finishes, and then tax savings, specifically on Alpha. On roof finishes, and I just remember this number, I want to say we saved $66,000. If you'll take a look, we were able to change from a painted Kynar 500 roof to a Galvalume roof, and we were able to save that money after the bid, and we had it broken out in the bid package. So it wasn't something that we went back and asked for afterward. It was something that we were able to assess seven different trade bids up front. So that way we took what not was the low cost, but what the combined low cost was with add alternates that we had all the way through that process. The same with the structural side and the earthwork. We were able to return $100,000 on dirt work.
Yes.
That we had actually set aside. And again, the big thing, tax savings, $300,000 in ODP. This has been day in and day out on any project that we've had with ODP, and our record keeping on it is second.
Yeah, we know how to do ODP. Our ladies in the office, Kelly Garrison, who you saw on the slide earlier, is excellent at ODP. She has more experience than
Kelly makes us all look good.
She can and she can help as far as your accounting department through all of it, and makes it really very easy to understand and easy to do. Because we do know it's an extra paperwork, but at the same time, it's worth the savings because that's extra stuff you can put it back into the school.
Again, it's just more demonstrations. And if you look at the brackets, they're minuses. You combine the minuses, it gives you totals. And we just gave you case-specific points from Alpha, since some of you have gotten familiar with the Alpha project. And Terry, over this past few weeks, we've been able to take the Terry project and cut $4 million out of budget. We thought we were going to be $2 million over budget, and with a little bit of finagling, a little bit of strong-arming with the architect for a moment, and then a whole lot of grit and determination, we were able to readjust the site work and how the site sat to not have to import as much fill. We were able to save almost $2 million just on that by itself. And now the project is in the $16.5 million budget and actually got a few dollars left over, which Mr. Kelly can't hear.
And the one thing that Allstate and Southland, we pride ourselves on, is customer service. And, you know, we want to let you guys know that we're not going anywhere or disappearing anytime soon. We're not building a building and walking away from it. We want to see all the way through. I just had a meeting, you know, I guess we finished Alpha last February, and I just had a meeting over there about some warranty issues, you know, with Willie Pitts, their head of facility. We want to make sure that we're still here for you. You can pick up the phone and call us. I think Scott, he prides himself on buildings that he's done 20 years ago, and you can still call him. Something's wrong with that building, and we'll come take a look at it.
And we're both hands-on owners, so not only do you call us up and we just know about the building, we know how your building was constructed. If you ask me something about one of my structures or something that I've done 30 years ago, hopefully for the next few years until I get Alzheimer's a little bit worse, I'm going to be able to remember it and recall it, and we'll be able to talk about it. But it's service after the sale, and it's long-term relationships. We're here to build a long-term relationship. We're not here to be a one-and-done. I mean, Scott and I have been friends since we were in high school together, so this is a long-term relationship for us. Luckily, we were working into things over time, and it's just been that much more successful for us as adults. You know, why choose our team? 300 schools in the past 10 years, 300 different projects. 11 of the special funded projects.
11. There's only been, I think, 50 awarded in the state of Florida. So we've done over 20% of those in the past few years. Proven experience with Clemens and Rutherford. One of my favorite anecdotal stories about CRA is my grandfather taught Mr. Rutherford in school. And it's just been a long-term relationship from Madison County all the way to today. Local area experience. From Pensacola to Jacksonville, from Tampa to Atlanta, we know how to pull subs out of that area. We know how to make budgets work. We know how to use that influence to help get the numbers that you're going to have to make it work. There is a lot of roll your sleeve up time that's going to need to be invested to make this project successful for all of us. To make it work in that dollars, you have an 88,000 square foot building, you've got $55,000. It's going to be $145 a square foot after you get done with your site work. $145 a foot. A lot of people say that can't be done. We just did it over in Alpha. We've done it in Perry. We've done it on other projects. We have demonstrated. And again, we've never walked away from a project. We've never not been able to put one in budget with CRA. Past performance, long-term commitment. Our resume speaks for itself. Our team, we like to think, speaks for itself. This is the team that can build your school, take care of all of your needs, bring the solutions that you're going to have some of the hard decisions, and make it happen. And not 20 miles from here, we did it and demonstrated it. Hopefully you guys that actually went through it enjoyed going through the school. So with that, we're ready for some questions.
Great presentation. The ODP, I think I know what you're, is that where you utilize your tax exempt status?
Yes, sir. It's in layman's terms, it's an owner direct purchase order. So what we do is we use your buying certificate
our tax
to be able to
status.
Save the tax on the
okay, because we've done that before.
Yes.
I thought that's what that was. And
in the load curve, it's going to be expensive. You've got two or three things that are going to be working for you. You're going to have a 10% retainage. So right off the bat, we're going to have $1.5 million when you get to the load. And not to sound condescending and asking this, does everybody understand the load on your schedule and what I'm talking about when I'm saying this? Because right now, you're going to be funding $5 million in advance of something that technically you can't fund $5 million in advance. So we've done some assumptions. In our assumptions, you've got a millage rate that you started billing for in advance when you started being able to do this process with the special funding school. So you've got, I'm hoping, a piggy bank somewhere with some advanced funds. Whatever that fund number is, it is. But what we're talking about doing is you've got to have $5 million in between, give me a favor, just go back to the schedule on the second phase, between the second and third. Because I really want you guys to grasp the magnitude of what has to happen and really the freeze on the subcontractors. Because I like to say we're the only firm that I have competed against. All of the other firms, one of which I think is competing against us tonight, that has not had a cost escalation in subcontracts going phase to phase. So as a subcontractor, what I'm saying is if I get done with phase one and my contract's over and I'm going to phase two, I may want a 3% boost, or the commodities market may have come up. We have not had a commodity shift on a 15 or 17 month project. We know how to lock them in up front. I have not seen that on a school board project in the panhandle of Florida ever, other than our firms. So what's going to happen is in July of 19, you're hitting in between
July key funds are then available. The
correct.
Second phase of July of 18, second phase, July of 19.
So in between basically that October and July, you're going to be minus $5 million. We're going to make up $1.5 million of it in retainage. So we know we've got that money. We're hoping that we can tap some of your millage rate that you've been able to hold back up front to help with that. Then we have to look at potentially, and kind of what we threw on the table talking about it again, is the alternate for the gymnasium. Recognizing we got to still have the gymnasium built before basketball season. I have kids in middle school and high school and understand how important basketball becomes, to have that finished before November. So we've got to make sure that we don't get into an overlap on the fee funding to make that work. So I think that based on our historical way of approaching this, that we can work with the board and superintendent to make this happen and make it where our schedule actually works for the funding all the way through.
Couple more. Franklin County, I remember they had just completed that when we hired TRA to do Osprey School back in 09 or 07.
07.
07 we started. I know they run out of money. What happened there? I know they had to go back to the legislature and ask for some additional funding. What happened on that?
Well, it was underfunded to be able to.
By the legislature?
Correct. Okay. To be able to do it. They went back.
And they come back.
They got an appropriation to be able to do it. And I always love this, and Scott is also is equal in being able to say this. Good old William J. was my principal in school. And Senator Mumford, has been as good an ally in the educational process as being able to come up with those extra dollars. Halsey Bashir's, his daughter was over at my house the other day eating dinner. And I mean, we've got a good stable of people in the legislature to be able to help with those short fundings. You know, I would be asking for more money, whether through an appropriation or something. You know, I heard a comment a long time ago at a fundraiser that said it's tainted money, it ain't never enough.
Right.
You know, to get y'all what you want, if we ask for more even now, do I think we can build the school with the money that we have? Absolutely. I think that we can build the school with what we've got right now. But let's ask for more. Let's see if we can't get you some more FF&E. Let's see if we can't get you some other things.
That's always a concern for mine, because when we originally started the Hosford project, that's the only project that this board's kind of been on. We had another one down there, not back in the 90s, was the original. What we figured with CRA and Dr. Watson, who's the godfather of special facilities, you know, was one thing, but then it got tore to pieces in committee. And so what happened is that school over there has no administration. What we do? Left it in the classroom. So when you go to the new school, there's no principal office. You have to go into the old building, which we were never going to tear down, so we were utilizing the old building. But it was kind of, it's still under my crawl a little bit how, you know, our legislature people at the time, you know, Hosford's never going to be that big. And, you know, we planned it to be bigger. And I said, it's your formula. It's a statutory formula for funding. And it says do this. And I'm telling you, to the day we have filled that school, you know, they take past year's, you know, enrollment and project for your next year. With the school is full, it was a good funding formula. But they cut us. And so we felt like the best thing to do was put a classroom. We need a classroom space. Pull the administration, guidance office, all those things out, put that in the old building. But I have no confidence that you'll ever go back to the legislature and get any additional dollars at this day and time. I don't think so. No,
I think there are creative ways to potentially go across them if you truly have a shortfall.
Yeah.
I think FF&E is different. I think it's through an appropriations and it's not through the special funding.
Right.
But I do think there are ways to do it. I do think that y'all have representation over here that can help with that. And we watched Senator Mumford help with that, as well as Representative Shears with the funding of a sewer leg to be able to get funded so that Alpha could be able to be put on the sewer. And I'm sure with Senator Mumford's house right down here on Lake Mystic, I'm sure that,
yeah, know, absolutely.
He,
yeah.
And, you know, being from Calhoun County, I know there's weird stuff that goes on across the river from time to time between everybody, but, you know, he loves this area.
Right.
So, I mean, he wants to see success in the schoolroom, and more so being an educator. I've fortunately been with him an awful lot over the years, and I've been with him on some of these calls on some of this funding. And, you know, Jack Lockwell is a real good friend of mine and a very good friend of his. And you put those two crusty old men together and they can come up with some creative ways to find you guys some dollars.
But y'all feel our budget is doable?
Your budget is so razor thin tight that, yes, I think I can build your building at your budget right now based on $15.2 or $3 million, based on $1 million in site work improvement, having $14 million to build 88,000 of these 523 square feet. And put it down to the brass tacks. Yeah, but I mean, we're not going to have a penny to spare. And the big thing is getting through that funding to get the load to make it happen. Did I answer your question?
You did, yes, sir. Thank you.
Did you have any questions?
I got a technical question. My girls play volleyball. Alpha don't have a sound system. I noticed that.
That's funny. We were just having that conversation.
See, all these schools that's got sound systems, Bluntstown,
ready.
Is that out?
Locked the door so he can't get out.
I think that.
I know that's a Mickey Mouse thing.
We don't have.
But it's a beautiful. It is a beautiful gym. And when they introduced the girls, you couldn't hear them because they had to pull in some boom box. And I thought, how? And I told my wife, I said, how silly to build a brand new school and put a sound system.
It's got a sound system. It's not working right now. As a matter of fact, we had emails.
I didn't see speakers anywhere.
One of the things that they're talking about today is raising the speakers. Yeah. This is Jacksonville Sound, did the sound. There's also an auditorium gym system versus something that has more designed, and I love this word, to have an acoustician be able to come in to design something is a wonderful thing. With the dollars that we have that are limited, you know, it still sounds like the mouth of bumblebees every once in a while, and a lot of it also has to do with the way that I talk when I'm orating at a speaker. So needless to say, some of the enunciations could be a little bit better so that the mouthful of bumblebees actually sounded coherent.
Right.
In that particular instance, they're adjusting some of the speakers up and down. And I think this goes to service after the sale. We're not getting paid for that. We're coming over and helping with that.
That's right.
And that's something that the architect designed to put in there. And we did what we were told.
Sure. I just didn't know. I was wondering.
No, and I think that's something that Superintendent Yoder is high on his priority right now because he doesn't like the acoustic of not being able to hear also.
Gotcha. That's all my question. Thank you.
I have a question. Kind of beat around about it. What is your warranty at the school?
Well, I'm 49 years old, and you're going to call us year after year for the next several years, and what's going to happen is your maintenance people will get trained by Ryan, just like Ryan trained Willie, and they will go through a hand-holding process that will take a period of years. In the specs, we call out for warranties. A lot of it is actually spec-driven by the architect, so there is a certain criteria that we'll have to have. If there are extras that we're able to grab that are cost-effective solutions for you, we get them. But when does my warranty run out? Well, if I want to come back to your county and work, when does mine ever run out? And my phone, there isn't a time in the world that you won't be able to pick up your phone and call my cell phone immediately. And the same thing with Scott Brewer and the same thing with everybody on our staff. Unfortunately, we take care of our clients, we believe in the people we work for, and we just want to have a successful project.
So y'all don't set an actual time frame on that? You just kind of...
The actual warranty period is typically a 1 year, and that's spec driven through the architect. To say that it's 1 year exclusive is not at all the case. Yeah. I mean, I've done stuff in Madison and Leon County that I've come back in 10 years.
Right.
We'll send somebody over just to help get something taken care of. It's the old handshake thing. I mean, we still believe in it. That's exactly what it boils down to.
Yeah, all warranties are 1 year as far as all the subcontractors will all give us 1 year easily. All equipment and everything else will have extended warranties on that. You know, your HVAC equipment, your water heater, and all that stuff, that'll all have a spec warranty.
Let me give you a better one than that. In Pinetta, Florida, CRA was the architect. They put on a Hawaiian blue roof. On this Hawaiian blue roof, there were metal shavings that wound up on the roof. 10, 11 years later?
Over 10 years.
We get a phone call that said, we got a problem with our roof. It's leaking. We go over there, there's rust holes in it. We literally, 11 years later, out of our pocket, went over and we fixed the roof and gave them probably a good 20-year solution that will outlive the finish on the panels that they have now. And that's something that we did that I forgot about until I watched him and Greg sitting there talking about it. So that's the warranty after the sale. You know, I have three young boys. I'm hoping that one of them gets to stand up here one day and build another building for you guys.
I appreciate it.
Okay. Answered some of the questions I had already, but the selection of local contractors, do y'all have meetings here in the county?
At restaurants in the county, at hardware stores, we actually advertise some of them, and we do. We bring everybody in. You know, one of y'all's either he's an infamous outlaw or a good guy. Old Tommy Roddenberry has worked on and off for us on residential framing and things.
So
they do hire outlaws.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Good.
But you know, we've got a lot of relationships over here. I mean, I've employed a lot of people through Liberty County for years.
Okay.
we've done a lot of projects in and out.
But you don't actually advertise
exactly.
And say we're going to have a meet.
Yes, sir, we do. Absolutely, we do. We actually have, we schedule them to have like a breakfast. And we sit down.
Job fair time.
Absolutely. And then we're bringing them in and we're saying, you know, Appalachia or something, and you know, hey, come on, let's sit down, let's talk about it, and how can we put you together? What was the subtrade concrete got? $411,000 subcontract on what is it?
Well, Hampton Concrete did the concrete, but it was Griffin Concrete that provided all of our grout and concrete for the entire
job. So we brought them in, and you know, it was kind of a leap of faith with us because, again, we're also doing a GMP with you, and we have a bonding company that we've got to be able to take care of, and they have a certain criterion for us. We took gamble with them, and we actually paid off. We helped get them through some things. They did an excellent job over it out.
Yeah, people were doubting that they could handle the workload and stuff like that, and we helped.
I mean, we handed them a $411,000 unbonded contract, which in our industry and in that particular format is pretty unheard of. And I mean, that's what we do. I mean, at some point, the hunger for the project and the desire to do it, the desire to be a part of the community, overrules the stupid bonding company for a moment. And that's something that we've done. It doesn't matter if it's in Madison, if it's in Tallahassee, if it's in Liberty County, if it's from Gene Pro at Chipola College when we did that. We have done that at every facility we work with.
So y'all contracted with Hampton and they subcontracted with Griffin?
Well, Griffin was actually an owner direct purchase order through the school. So we worked it and they provided the concrete to Hampton and to the Mason.
I got
it.
So Hampton did the cores, the core tests and all that?
The cylinder testing was done by testing
outside.
Yeah, right. Out of Mariana.
Right.
But yes, and to answer your question, we had a pre-construction pre-bid meeting for all subcontractors, and then we had a separate meeting for all local subcontractors and local vendors. This was before bid. And then during the project, we'd always have guys that would come up looking for work, you know, locally. And we'd take their resumes, Danny would get it to all the lead guys for all the subcontractors, because they needed guys, and we hired a bunch of local.
You can never have enough boots working for you no matter what you do. An HVAC guy needs guys helping to hang duct, skilled and unskilled. The plumber needs people to help dig ditches and lay pipe and get things done. The brick mason needs somebody to help carry things. The steel guy needs something. So what we do is we're sitting there literally, we're the job fair. You come to us and we're actually playing job fair. I mean, our superintendent project manager is literally taking the resume and trying to match them up to subcontractors because we're all in this together. It is a huge hand-holding process for everyone. And again, we know what it takes for you guys, and I hate to put it this way, but to get votes too. I mean, at some point, you gotta be able to say, hey, we created jobs here in Liberty County. This is how many people we got employed, and this is what they did for us.
Yes, the impact on the local economy over there was excellent, and it will be here. You know, it's you guys as school, you guys as money, you can put that money back in the pocket locally, and that's what we like to try to do. So,
and again, it demonstrated it over and over and over and over ad nauseum. I mean, and the latest one is Alpha, so we have that ability to be able to make that happen, and we show it over and over again. Right now, I own a subcontracting company, also, I could put 50 people to work tomorrow if I could just find them. You know, it's just a function of we need more people in the industry right now. And that's another big thing to be looking at, and that's one of the reasons that we need to jump so fast to start working with the architect. Nobody's talked about the commodity increases and the labor increases that are coming as a result of the storm. Let me tell you, I have been working in Central and South Florida. There is so much work down there, and it is sucking labor down there that's going to be there for the next 3 to 5 years. I just did a big, huge project for the Osceola County Sheriff's Office. One of the majors like to say, and I've never verified this, but when that ice split across Sebring, it snapped concrete poles. And it created a lot of damage from Sebring up through Osceola, over in the Tampa area. There is just a ton of work. Labor has become our commodity right now. And I mean, I'll give you an economics course in construction. Labor is the problem. Commodities pricing are going to start rising next year. It's time to start locking things down. Because what's going to happen is eventually as wages are going up, those commodities are going to go up and inflation is going to kick in. And we understand that. I went through it with the sheetrock brick crisis. I went through it. We were building a $50 million condominium project in Panama City in 06, 07 when we were having all type of commodities. That's when copper went to $350 a pound. I mean, nobody would have ever expected electrical to go to $30 a square foot construction cost. So we've been through all of these cycles before, and it's a good building time at the moment. You're going to see things rise. You guys are going to get the benefit of being at the right place and the right funding at the right time. You just need the right contractor. That'd be us.
I have a question. I think you touched on it just a little bit, but I want to make sure that I was understanding that that's what I was thinking in my mind. As far as when you come in and you get the people to subcontract and you're overseeing all of that, as far as background checks, because I know that's something that's going to be a big deal as far as being on school property.
We were able to utilize quite a few of the local people, but it was difficult because most of them, when we told them that they had to go through a background check, they never showed up.
Yeah.
So, but we did end up with some very qualified, good people over in Calhoun County. But it's that can be an issue.
Yeah, and I'm interested in the type of work. You know, you sometimes get.
They didn't come over with Colonel Smith or Captain Smith on the Mayflower. These people are not of great character and, you know, not having a couple of social issues from time to time.
Sure.
But
I have them in my family. I'm just going to go ahead and tell you, I understand that.
Under the JLA Act, we are able to come in, and again, everyone would have a pre-cleared sticker. One thing under the JLA side, the thing that we can talk about and we've done on other schools, is one person can be assigned as long as they're within an eye distance.
Okay.
We don't want bandoleros running around. But if Uncle Roy had a DUI and he's able to come in here and do a job digging a ditch,
sure,
and we're able to keep an eye on him and we can see him, I don't have a problem with Uncle Roy coming in here and digging a ditch and making a living either. I think that's the parts in the law that hopefully we'll get. You know, no legislator wants to touch the JLA Act, and nobody wants to touch the FDLE Level 2 backgrounds. But those are the things that are just kind of common sense that we believe in.
Yeah.
So if you believe in that type of methodology,
sure,
that's where I am.
Okay.
They had what they call a Raptor system that was in the administrative office. We could go in and give the office a driver's license, and they would run it out. And if they didn't have any kind of issues with child issues, maybe they had a DUI, maybe even a murder, but just being a little facetious there. But if they didn't have any child issues, they gave us a sticker where we could put those people.
And those people all had them on their hard hats. So everybody that walking around has to have that yellow sticker on their hard hat.
That's kind of an in-between being able to get your just blunt clearance. You couldn't get that, but you can't get this. And plus, we, a key ingredient on this project will be isolating the new construction area, a way to have it. It was installed, so they're isolated. Keep them too isolated. And so that helps us.
And no workers, especially without a badge, but basically it's just us, unless we accompany them, will be allowed to enter the campus at all. They're restricted to their parking lot and the site area. So.
Did y'all have any experience at all ever in Alpha with working any with the inmate labor? Did any of them come in during the time y'all were there?
Not on the school, but
yeah. You know, inmate labor helped the facilities, people over there. We were not.
Sure, I mean, obviously you wouldn't have to oversee
yes, they
it.
Were, especially during the summertime, we were doing work and they had inmate labor on site.
Okay, but so y'all worked around.
Setting up FF&E and those type of things. That's
they just came to inside the fence there.
Right. If they didn't have any inmate labor while school was in session, it was all summer or after hours.
So. Yeah, nobody's allowed to be of that on the incarcerated side inside.
The only other question that I have is you probably get asked all the time, but you know, when we're working with two different contractors trying to get this, you know, what I'm assuming, and I'm, you know, what we all do is assume, it's not always the right thing, but I'm assuming that you kind of know the other contractor that has put the bid in. What could you say would stand you out more?
We've never walked away from a project that we couldn't put in budget. I'll be completely honest with you. I live in a glass house, so I'm not going to throw rocks. We've never had to walk away from one.
Okay.
We're the team that can get it done. It's demonstrated across the river. We're presenting with the team that's going to be building it. You know, again, not to throw a rock. It's hard to look at some other stuff and hear things on the street and know that other teams are being put together that are supposedly going to be building your school. You're looking at people that are going to be building your school here. make sure, you know, can you build the school for $145 a gross square foot? You know, 145 to 154 max, and that's really going to be a number that's going to wind up resonating pretty well all the way through it based on the site work. And fortunately for you guys on the site work, we're going to have a lesser impact on the site work side because you guys sit up above river elevation. We don't have near the challenges that we have in Alpha. But, you know, they're both nice flat sites. We're probably looking at more holding pond, like grading coming back across, and just basic engineering. So hopefully we can take that $1 million that I tagged right off the bat, just kind of in the thought process, and tune that down to 750. You know, every dollar that we grab is going to be important to you. So, you know, what else are you asking for? You're asking for the team, which mine you're looking at, accessibility to the owners. You got my commitment to that. A dollar cost where you've demonstrated that you've done it. We've more than demonstrated that. And I'm better looking than Chuck still. So, I mean, I'm glad y'all took down the monument that you know, somebody said they had over here, Terry, but it's good for today.
Did you say your building will be 145 a foot?
I think you're going to be between 145 and 154 a foot. I really think that's kind of the number.
154.
And that's kind of a hard number. That's a basic PAM number based on constructability, based on what Greg and those guys have been putting out with a little bit of contractor input. You asked one other thing. You got to have good contractor input. You got to have the right team that knows how to work with the architect to get some of the VE items in, because he's going to sit there and smile, and there's some times where he wants to put his foot in my rear end, just like there's some times I want to put my foot in his, because he doesn't want to budge on something that I think is inconsequential, and likewise him with me. So those are the things that you want to be able to have, and we've already been through that learning curve, and to be honest with you, y'all can't afford to go through a learning curve with another contractor. I've been building, president of our company, for over 30 years. Building, not road building. And I think that's a big difference.
Scott Brewer used to work with Peter Brown.
Scott Brewer did work for Peter Brown. Yes, sure did.
That's where you know him from.
I knew him.
Yeah. Yep. Scott's a great guy. Scott was quarterback for a football team. Scott's been a wonderful man. Matter of fact, we share seats at football games together. His wife and my wife are friends, and they're just getting, he's a really good guy. Somebody that I want on my team every day of the week, no matter what I was doing. He's a get-her-done kind of guy. Like I said, I'll load the wheelbarrow up, hand it to him, and then he'll have to carry it up the side of the mountain. And he does it every time. You guys will be very impressed with the team that we bring to you. And that's the other thing. You're getting two construction companies building your one school. We both know between the two companies exactly what to do. And you get the benefit of that bargain. And we're not learning on your job.
Thank you. Yes. Appreciate that. Did y'all have anything else that you wanted to? I think that was all of our questions.
I think we covered everything.
Did you have anything, Mr.
Summers? No.
Any questions? Okay. Mr. Rick, thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Take a pop.
We're gonna take a 5-minute break. Thank you.
Are you related to Lori Rick?